Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Let us do a little house cleaning here. A couple of things. Just to tack on to what Keefe just told you. Because Alex Cora is talking right now.
Yes.
A couple of things. Chris Sale threw a bullpen today. Said he feels good. Ready to start on Sunday at Baltimore. All is good.
Nothing to see here.
We told you there was a doubleheader in Baltimore on Saturday. David Price will start one of them. Alex seems to indicate that the other game could be a bullpen game.
Bullpen game. Didn't the Rays, wasn't that their plan all year?
Well, they're only playing Baltimore.
So no, I'm saying the Rays. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Those guys can do whatever. But that was sort of they had like starter by committee was one of their thoughts.
Yeah.
So maybe like Velasquez maybe starts, and then they just go all hands on deck. So then you'd probably want Price, I would think, to start the first game, go as deep into the game as possible.
He's currently scheduled to start the first game.
The 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So then a
bunch of bullpen guys.
And Johnson wasn't necessarily sharp last night, but he's been better than Pomerantz. So I'm good with that. Keep Brian Johnson in the rotation for now. And see if Pomerantz can help you at all in the bullpen. I wouldn't really hold my breath on that. I think ultimately he doesn't even... He's either off the team or he's certainly off the playoff roster.
He will not be on the playoff roster,
right. Exactly.
In my opinion. Johnson and Porcello will start the two games in Philadelphia. That's as it stands right now.
Yep.
The way it lines up is Johnson and Porcello start those two. Earlier in the show, we told you about Heath Evans. He has come out firing about his firing from the NFL Network. We told you about some stuff he said earlier stating his case. The NFL Network came out. Put out a release basically saying, you know, the reason we fired Heath Evans was because of all the stuff he admitted to on Twitter today. He has come out, and I meant to do this earlier, but we got caught up in stuff, and he has come out and kind of restated his case in response to the NFL Network.
Yeah, he's mad.
There are a series of what he calls facts.
Let's hear them.
NFL Network, your 180-degree change in position now that you settled the lawsuit is astonishing. This is what I'm quoting him now.
Yeah.
Fact. The NFL Network kept me on the air for a month and a half, 46 days, after you knew about the picture exchange.
But the sexual pictures that they
Which they apparently went back and forth. Now, there is some fairness to his point there. You knew about it, and you kept him on the air for 46 days.
True.
He said, fact, the NFL Network only suspended me with pay after the false allegations were made public. Remember, he said they knew about it in October. They didn't become public until early December. He said after they found out in October, he told the NFL Network, this is what happened.
Right.
This is my involvement. He goes on to say, fact, the NFL Network continued to pay me for 9 months, nearly
$400,000. $400,000?
While it used my evidence in the lawsuit.
Wow, he makes a pretty penny at the NFL Network.
NFL Network guys make some
good for those
big
guys.
Cake.
Holy smokes.
Fact. The very first time the NFL Network ever mentioned terminating me was after it settled the lawsuit in an effort to threaten me and silence me. He concludes, cover-up never looks good, even on the NFL. More truth to come.
You know what doesn't look great is when you use the Notes app on your cell phone and you type stuff out.
It's only got 280 characters here.
I know, and then you tweet it out, though. I feel like there's a better way. He could have come on Dale and Keefe and talked about this.
We did.
Open invitation.
And
what's going on here?
We will continue to have it. But
the notes, I've always found that odd. He's not the only one to do this, but I just feel like that's a weird thing. I can just imagine him sitting there on his phone typing away angrily about the NFL.
All right, a couple of things here, and then we'll get back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. You guys all know the story by now. We've known for a couple of days that Jerry Remy has been diagnosed with cancer for the sixth time. He is off the air, at least for now. Steve Lyons is doing the games in Toronto and Baltimore, and then, you know, they'll see how it works out forward from that. But Jerry did a couple of interviews. I saw he did one with Channel 5 with Mike Lynch.
Yeah, yeah.
He did one with Tom Caron on Nesson. And one of the things he said in one of these interviews is that this one hit him even harder than the first time he found out.
It did hit me hard. It hit me harder than probably harder than like as the first one did. And because we kind of didn't really expect it, you know. And you know, when you've had it so many times, it's like, how many times can you get this, you know, and, you know, still survive. So it's been tough. It's been tough. I tried to hide it for a good week. And I found myself, you know, being confused on really what to do. And, you know, my great relaxation is doing a game. And that's the only time I was comfortable was doing the game. Once the game was over, my head started spinning. And, you know, I finally got on the road this couple of days ago. And I was sitting in a hotel room by myself. And I said, what am I doing? And, you know, I should be getting back there, getting tested, get this thing started. So so I called Sean McGrail. And, you know, he's very supportive with it. And said, you know, get back here. You know, get back here right away. So I thank Nesson and the Red Sox for being as supportive as they've been through all I've been through.
How about this? The Yankees series last weekend, when he was so good in the
booth
with Eck
awesome.
And O'Brien.
Yeah.
He knew then.
Right. But so it makes
sense
when he
says was working.
How that's his escape. You know, that's the only time he can relax is doing a game. Like that. So that's the, and you can tell that's the case just by listening to him and remembering what those games sounded like. So he knew what was going on with it, with him and his health. And yet he could separate it for 3 hours or whatever it was and just be all about the game. And so that's going to be really tough for him, too. He just talks about that's his escape, but now he's taking time away from that. So that is brutal.
Earlier today, Mutt and Reamer were filling in for Kirk and Jerry this morning on KNC. And Adam Schefter was on with them. Adam Schefter from ESPN. He had a couple of nuggets in here. First of all, Adam Schefter saying that Tom Brady was not the guy who influenced the Josh McDaniels decision.
How much of an impact did Tom Brady have on that decision to get Josh back in the building?
I don't think Tom influenced that first part at all. You know, I think Josh, you know, has an obligation to his family, to himself, to do what's right. And I don't think because, you know, oh boy, Tom Brady said, I want to finish my career with him, I'm going to go back to New England. I think Josh has great respect and admiration for Tom. He recognizes how much he's meant to him and the organization. But when you're in a position like that, you're doing what's best for you and your family, period, regardless of Tom Brady. And if you decide to come back to the Patriots, not because, boy, I don't want to abandon Tom Brady at this point in my career. I don't want to leave him hanging. I don't want to abandon Bill Belichick. You are doing that because you believe it's the best career move for you.
So he doesn't think that Brady influenced McDaniels to decide to stay here.
Yes, I mean, I think that leads more to the, you know, coach and waiting thing. I thought that right away. I know they can't just flat out, you know, have him sign something where that's the case, but I think it was probably more of a craft thing. And that could go back to maybe they do have a pretty good idea of how much longer Belichick's going to be here. And they say, hey, do you really want to go to the Colts or do you want to stick this out for a couple of years and then take over afterwards?
Well, Adam Schefter, in fact, did address the whole idea of Josh McDaniels being the coach in waiting.
Do you believe that Josh has been given indications that once Bill Belichick is not the coach anymore, he'll be the next head coach of the New England Patriots?
Do I think that they view him as the potential successor to Bill Belichick today? Yes. But what does that mean? Bill Belichick could coach 5 more years, 10 more. We have no idea how much longer he will or won't coach. And so let's just say Bill's coaching 2 more years and the I'm making this up here. The Tennessee Titans come to Josh McDaniels in 3 years and say, boy, you know, this Vrabel experiment didn't work out. We want you to coach the team. What's to stop him from going to take another head coaching job? Nothing. So it's great. It's sort of like, to a much lesser extent, you could be engaged to your girlfriend and you could plan a wedding for 2 years down the line. But how do you know that she's not going to leave you or you're not going to leave her?
Wow, that took a turn. That took a turn.
Well, I would know that I wouldn't leave her because I wouldn't. I guess that's how you could know. She could go runaway bride, you know, Julia Roberts style. But also, the reason why I know that Tennessee wouldn't offer McDaniels a contract is because McDaniels just committed to the Colts, started hiring coaches, then bailed on him. So why would you want to hire
McDaniels? Things could
change. Maybe they forget. Maybe, you know, time heals all wounds.
You could be engaged to your girlfriend.
Yeah, the peace.
And you could plan a wedding for 2 years down the line.
Everything
but how do you know that she's not going to leave you or you're not going to leave her?
I don't know.
Wow.
I guess that happens, but... So, I mean, he thinks he is sort of the coach in waiting, but he's saying it doesn't – not even putting it that way.
It's just not –
the next guy.
It's not a given that he's the
– But you remember, was it a year or two ago? I forget if it was Jonathan or Robert Kraft said they've had the conversation with Belichick, and he has told them how much longer he wants to coach. No, they're not. They didn't share with us the year. Obviously, that would have been a monster story. But they have had that conversation, and so if he's sticking with
Robert
it,
Robert Kraft said they know. He knows.
If he said 2020 or whatever, like that lines up to where you could pass that information on to McDaniels.
Schefter, in fact, said that after the Super Bowl, after the loss in Minneapolis, the gut wrenching loss, that in fact Brady, Belichick, and Kraft did have a sit down.
You said they talked for hours, Adam. Is that Brady, Kraft, Belichick, Guerrero? Is that a meeting that took place before or after the season, off season?
I think the powers that be met at some point after the season. I don't know when exactly, but I think it was out there a bunch of different times that they got together. I think Robert Kraft referred to that, if I'm not mistaken. Kraft, Belichick, Brady just sat down to see how they could move forward into the future and do things the best way.
And do you know what the end result of that conversation was?
When you have a conversation that lasts that long, I'm sure there are a lot of results. I think that basically you're just trying to make sure that everybody's on the same page, that the lines of communication are open, and that everybody's going to be as happy as they possibly can be moving forward.
And finally, for those of you who are wondering how long Tom Brady is going to keep playing, Adam Schefter weighed in with an opinion on that as well.
Moved how serious you thought it got with the quarterback, how much he thought about not playing this year.
There were people in and around the organization who honestly didn't know. I mean, they thought he was going to play, but they didn't know he was going to play. And that's what I'm talking about on a year-to-year basis. When they say to you, yeah, well, we think, but we haven't heard, and we don't know. If they don't know, then isn't there some sort of question that's out there? So, again, I can't tell you, like, at one point, boy, his wife wanted him to retire and he was thinking about doing it and he was this close to doing it. But I do believe it was on his mind. It crossed his mind. It was something he gave some thought to. And ultimately he decided he loves the game too much. He's playing at too high a level to give it up. But, yeah, I believe it's something he thought about, yes.
So he says year to year.
Year to year.
For Brady.
Well, I mean, at 41, that makes the most sense,
doesn't
it?
Yeah. I mean, who knows how it's going to go. One other note here. We mentioned this earlier, but I will mention it again. Kirk Minahan has taken to Twitter today. He has posted a series of two tweets. I'm going to read them verbatim, what Kirk posted.
All right.
The first one says, quote, "I've talked a lot about my issues with depression, and I've battled it the last 3 months or so. Last Thursday night, I checked into the ER at Winchester Hospital with suicidal thoughts. I was then moved to McLean, where I was treated and released earlier this week." He followed that up with, "I'll be back at work tomorrow," meaning Friday, obviously. "I'll be back at work tomorrow, and I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm not ashamed or embarrassed, and we'll do what we do. We'll talk about it." When I mentioned this earlier in the program, the first time we mentioned it, I said, Rich and I would not be commenting on it because it's totally unfair of us to do so. He has to comment on it.
Right.
He hasn't talked to you guys about it yet. As he said in his tweets, he'll be doing that tomorrow.
6 a.m.
It would be totally irresponsible for me to theorize or comment. I have no idea what's going on with Kirk. I'm very happy that he sought and received some help for this. I'm very happy about that. But it would be irresponsible for me to comment on Kirk's situation when he hasn't commented to you guys yet.
Right. So the floor will be his tomorrow at 6.
Be his tomorrow at 6, right. And now you know, well, as much as we know at this point.
Final hour of Dale and Keith.
If you're just hopping into the hoopty, you're hopping into the sled right now.
The what now?
It's the money hour.
The money hour.
The 5 o'clock hour, money hour for the PM drive.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm sure, by the way, that we'll get an explanation, hopefully tonight, A couple of pictures have been tweeted from Gillette Stadium. Mike Reese was the first one. I think he was there, you know, since this morning
or
something.
Yeah, he slept over.
But Ben Volans tweeted out a picture now I see as well. There's no Patriots logo at midfield, and there's nothing written in either end zone. What, did they go with the cheap economy summer preseason game package or what?
A high school game? Were they getting ready to play one of the Super Bowls there? Like, what is this? Maybe the field has to... I have no idea. It looks kind of odd, actually, without stuff in the end zone or the big logo in the middle.
So no Patriots logo at the 50.
At least they painted the numbers. That's good.
They
to
do
see.
Have numbers
yeah,
and numbers, lines
yeah,
on
they're
the field.
Out there. They got the yard line.
Nothing
so
in
good.
Either end zone. I mean, aren't these things sort of plug and play? I mean, I know they've had big
paint
concerts.
By numbers.
I know they've had big concerts recently. Taylor Swift
yeah,
was
T.
there
Swift,
and all that.
Sure.
But what did T. Swift ruin? Just the two end zones and the Patriots logo at midfield?
Is there a big Revs match coming up? Perhaps maybe they don't want that on the field for the Revs. I don't know.
For tomorrow, maybe?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
I'm sure they're playing soon.
Someday.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Rod's on the cell phone. Hey, Rod.
Hey, what's up, Rod? Oh, this is Hot Rod from before. He didn't... Rod, are you there? Rod! Rod! Hot Rod. Rod.
Rod's
no,
gone.
He's not there. What's going on with Hot Rod? He was waiting very
patiently.
I gave
him a second chance.
No, I know, but the same thing happened to him.
I tried.
No, I know. Let's see. What else?
Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
Listen, I cannot believe that these morons are calling this station to try to even debate who the greatest quarterback is of all time. The debate for me ended when Tom Brady won his fifth. I grew up watching Joe Montana.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And I grew up, obviously, watching Tom Brady.
Sure.
What this guy, the salary cap was put in place to prevent teams like the Patriots to win 12, 13 games a year. Tom Brady's been in this league for 20 years. He's been to 8 Super Bowls. That's like going to the Super Bowl every other year. You hear from players time and time over and over again how hard it is to get there. This guy's been there 8 times, has won 5. He could have easily had 6 or 7. All right. So these morons that are calling to try to say that Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, right. I hear you.
This and that. These guys are all a bunch of haters.
Yep.
Because they're fans of teams who watch their teams lose.
That's right.
Year after year after year after year. You guys are haters, okay? Just accept the fact.
Is your name Enzo?
Cup of haters.
Is your name really Enzo?
Are we
Come
allowed
on.
To talk about Enzo? Is
Cup
Enzo
of haters.
Right? Has he been cleared? Enzo's okay? All right. I don't know if we could talk about Enzo.
Yeah, he's
wrestling.
Some other,
he's back in?
He's wrestling again.
Is he all in?
No, I don't think he's worthy. I don't think they care.
No, they don't
Cup
like
of haters.
Cup of haters. Yeah, pretty much. I agree with, I mean, it kind of got out of hand there, but I agree with just about everything he said. Did he call us haters, too, though?
No.
Oh,
the people who don't think
the people
that,
called in. Yeah. Got it.
Cup of haters.
That definitely ran its course.
Enzo just sort of
yeah.
disappeared off the face See of the earth
later.
For a while there.
Yeah, had an issue there.
Rob's on the cell phone. Hey, Rob.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, we can understand you.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'd like to lay down $10,000, a whole lot of money for me, on Brady versus Jim in the 40-yard dash.
Oh, I would love to set that up.
I actually think you're right here.
He claims to be 75 years old, and he thinks he could beat Brady in a race. There's no way.
I'm putting my money on Brady, and if he wins, I'll donate it all to the Jimmy Fund.
Good. Nice. Good cause.
I'm guessing Tom might not be willing to participate in this event, but if Jim was right at the age of 75 and he claimed he could run 100 in like 11 something.
No, he said he did.
He ran it 9.9 but he said he could run it like 11.
Right.
He would win the Masters World Championship
he'd be
with
very
that.
Fast. He'd be flying.
I'll throw another $5,000 in if Jim has a heart attack.
Oh, now
come
that.
On, would you
come
please?
On.
Come on, Jim's out there working hard, but Brady is slow. We can admit that, but he's not slower than Jim the caller. I agree.
I'm not saying he'll die. I'm just saying he'll have a heart attack.
Just like a scare.
Oh, well, okay,
is what you're looking for. Just
I'm
like
not looking
scare.
For him to die just to that. Have a heart attack.
Got it.
You know, I mean, Jim was.
It seems like that's
an overreaction.
A little bit. But Jim was very confident that Brady was so slow. But that's another one of those weird arguments where if you're trying to talk against Brady and you bring up that he's slow, it's like, okay, Like, has that prevented him from winning? So he would have won a lot more had he been a little more fleet of foot?
I'm told by several people that the Patriots never put the logos on for preseason games. I guess this is like Belichick not giving rookies real numbers until you get to the preseason.
It's like Hugh Jackson saying, you're not getting that stripe until you're on the 53.
Equipment guys are going, I've been putting stripes on this helmet for three freaking weeks here.
He's like, well, Hugh, thankfully we're not waiting for the first win to get a stripe, or we would have played all last season without one.
Nobody would have had a stripe.
No stripe.
I'm doubling down. Hugh will be gone before their bye week.
That's true. When's the bye week?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
He'll be gone before their bye week.
Yeah, it's a rough start there for
him. Todd Haley will have interim. Masterminded the coup.
Interim head coach. Haley. Guys seem to get along already, right out of the chute.
Haley hates you,
Jackson. How about the thing where he's like, yeah, I'm in a different seat. I used to be in that seat over there. I'm in this seat now. I'm like, okay. Sounds like a good leader.
He was basically playing the, you don't get to make those calls.
Right.
I get to make those calls.
Okay, Hugh, thanks.
Let's try Robert on the cell phone. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys, sorry about that.
That's
before.
Okay.
You were calling me Rod, and I didn't know.
I apologize.
Oh, that classic mix-up. Rod, Robert. I got it. What's happening?
Listen, the call is way overdue. You guys have the best show on the station.
Thank
I've
you.
Been wanting to tell you that for I don't know how long.
Appreciate it.
Take as long as you want.
It's a testament to the show that I'm listening despite all the NFL talk, because I've decided to boycott the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, hearing all the hullabaloo about the flag and very little being done about the domestic violence issue, it just sickens me, and I've decided I'm done with it. And the thing that really pushed me over the top was that clown in the MLB, Robert Osuna. I don't know if you heard, he apologized
For the distraction.
For the distraction.
Yeah.
Not enough for the act.
What
for
an
the
idiot.
Distraction.
Yep.
It makes me sick, and I think the more men who speak up about this, the better off we'll all be.
I know the Astros, he hasn't pitched at home yet. He's about to. And the Astros have said they're meeting with some domestic violence advocacy group. And it seems as though what they've done is sold their soul for the sake of adding pitching help.
And this is after Verlander and McCullers and these guys came out and were just, you know, and rightfully so. They were killing this minor league pitcher that was caught on video for it and saying how there's, you know, no room for that and everything else. And then they go out and bring in Osuna after he serves a 75-game suspension. So that's got to be a weird kind of clubhouse and bullpen.
Yeah, it's not right. I can't stomach it anymore. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole kneeling for the flag thing, but I mean, if that much energy was put into the domestic violence piece, I mean, seriously.
So, Robert, let me ask you, if you're not watching football and if you're upset with baseball, how do you, I feel like that would free up a lot of time. That's really all I do. What do you do now in your free time?
I'm a musician.
There you go. All right.
I write songs.
You have other things to do.
Look, I will not try to talk anybody out of feeling strongly about this.
No, do whatever you want.
The Osuna thing is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. I mean, he just becomes a very easy player to root against. Like, he just absolutely is. You know, and even Aroldis Chapman, he had his issues, a couple of years ago. So those guys are easy to root for. I can't stop watching the game. I can't. The NFL has a lot of issues, but
we are cheap and superficial.
Call me whatever you want. I'm
watching, shallow as a mud puddle.
I'm watching Red Zone. I'm watching every second of the Patriots season. I'm going to be watching the preseason tonight. I know there are bad guys in the league. There are bad guys everywhere in life, but I'm watching football.
Bob! Whoa!
Hey, Bob, you all right?
I'm afraid Bob might not be
Bob,
with us anymore.
This was the same Bob.
I'm calling you.
Hey, what, Bob? You were calling us. What's up?
Yes.
You all right?
Hi.
What happened?
Good afternoon.
What happened?
Question is, I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback now.
Bob, are you in the world? Are you on the world's longest left turn?
Is
going
his hands
here?
Free?
The blinker never stopped. The entire time he was on the phone with us, the blinker never stopped.
I do appreciate him using the blinker. There's a lot of drivers out there
some
who don't.
Wouldn't.
So he was
maybe
being
he was
safe.
Just circumnavigating the parking lot.
Maybe. Maybe he was just doing donuts.
Way back in my minor league hockey days.
Yes.
We were practicing in Moncton, New Brunswick. And
The
last thing I needed to do was see yet another practice.
Right.
So I talked Billy, the bus driver, into letting me drive the bus in the
donuts?
Parking lot. Well, I didn't do donuts.
Oh, okay.
But
just took the bus
we were out
for a
the
ride.
Parking lot and did the big circumnavigation of the parking lot thing, and I drove the 49-passenger big-ass bus.
How'd that feel?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
It was really. Now, you know, I don't think Billy works for that company anymore. I hope
probably not.
For
I
his
heard
sake,
about what happened there, the shenanigans.
Since I just
told
everybody that he let me drive the
an
big ass bus.
Unlicensed bus driver, yeah.
In an empty parking lot, much still, like we're hoping Bob was.
You never know what can happen. Andy Hart was one time in an empty parking lot and smashed
into a pole. There were a lot of light poles in the parking
lot.
Yeah,
see? You could have been really hurt.
I didn't hit any
of
them.
The bus could have been
I
hurt.
Didn't hit one of them.
I'm proud of you.
Billy very said nice. I did a very nice job driving the bus.
I'm sure he did.
That was the only place he was ever going to let me drive it was in the empty parking
sense.
Lot. Final portion of our program is sponsored by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. We've got time for a couple more calls before we make way for Everkeef.
Yes, it's another good one tonight.
Aren't they all?
Just Keef.
Those are the best, aren't they?
Yeah, they're getting the most out of this final week of Everkeef, so that's for sure.
Yeah, we're not going to give you anybody.
Nah,
we're just
that's good. Fine.
Oh, that's right, because I saw Ryder in the other
room. Ryder's
in
the house.
Room.
He's preparing for the pregame. Sox and Jays.
Because Mutt was on this morning.
Mutt's
on tomorrow morning,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, probably. So
that'll
be the last
show. Very final Everkeef tomorrow is going to be a
can
solo Everkeef.
Can we do, Rossi, what do you think of like a best of tomorrow? We just do some of the best of Everkeef.
A best of Everkeef?
Tomorrow, for tomorrow. You don't have to prepare that for in 10 minutes, but for tomorrow.
Sure.
You don't seem enthused about it.
Are we looking for like just you?
Well, that is Everkeef. I don't know if you've ever tuned into the program.
Well, you've called. Oh, that's right. Nevermind at Night is
Nevermind at Night, a.k.a. Well, that'll continue. Nevermind at Night, I have a feeling, will continue.
We'll put something together.
Okay, thank you.
I can't wait to hear that.
Maybe
I'll
all the old
in.
Guests that were on the show, have them all call back in.
It'll be kind of a tearful sort of thing.
Well, it's happened before, dude.
I know. How long will it actually run?
About 10 minutes. It's condensed.
Pretty much cover everybody that we need to get in there.
It's pretty condensed. That's true.
Who is the very best Everkeef co-host?
Ryan Davey from Hashtag Dork Podcast.
I think that was just a cheap ploy on your part.
You asked the question. I didn't ask you to ask that.
Phony plug-in for the Dork Podcast.
He was a great co-host.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
No, that's not from Everkeef.
That's going to be tomorrow.
Come on.
Tomorrow at about 6:17.
Every day. Like that is. That's
I still do. That was
let's
past
be honest.
Tense.
All right, let's. Because we're all honest here.
That's the key.
That is one thing you will not miss from the shift change.
That is true. That is. I am looking forward
the
to
hanging
that.
Around from mm-hmm. 6 to whenever.
Right
sometimes 6:20.
And we've become friends, which again.
Well, not so much us.
Right around,
but
we have not. Right around seven. This time where I hit the talk back button, I go, Rossi, who's in tonight at 6? And then he looks through his info and says, not Mutt. And I go, okay. and then I prepare for that portion of the show. So that'll change. That is different.
Are you going to be kind of curious to see who's on at 6 o'clock on Monday?
Yeah, very, very curious. I assume Lou or Christian or
they'll be
Glenn.
Glenn will be hanging.
They'll probably draw straws. I think they should do like a nice rotation. Maybe Glenn for a day, Lou for a day.
I stayed on Everkeef a couple of
you
times.
Have, you have? You're on the list of Wanna, co-hosts.
I'll probably make the montage.
You'll be in there quickly. We should thank everybody that I've ever been on with. That'll be good. That'll actually eat up the whole 10 minutes.
Do you know the full list?
No.
No,
I can come
God,
up with,
no.
I can come up with it tomorrow. I can come up with that.
In my time, yeah, it's only been about a handful.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm just trying
think
to...
of every single person that works here that's not on one of the main shows all the time. They've all done it.
Oh, yeah. Valani
Dickerson.
Valani Dickerson.
Tomasi.
Trellick. Reamer. Bradford. Everybody.
Former producer Ben Kitchen.
Ben Kitchen did a bunch of them. He did a bunch of them. Ryan Davey, did I mention him?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Okay, yeah. He was on there as well. Dale and Michael both stuck around.
We
for
hung around
before.
A couple of times.
Yeah. Mutt, even a couple of times?
Well, once in a while. I think I've done as many of those
you
as
may
he
have.
Has.
Yeah, you may have. The numbers
pretty
are
much
pretty
on the
similar.
List, pretty much the same number as he's
That's
done.
That's true.
John's in Andover. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on?
I have a quick question and a point. So the question first is with everyone talking about Brady's end game, I was wondering if you guys stick along these lines. And the question is, do you think that if he wins the Super Bowl this year or next year that he's gone?
I think there's a good chance. I do.
I guess, and the follow-up question, John, is if they had beaten Philadelphia,
he may
do
have
you
already?
Think he would have walked then?
All right, so that's a great segue, because my last point is that all this talk about Brady's legs and his ability to run, I would argue that he's never won or lost Super Bowl based on his legs, but
right.
we probably lost the last one because he couldn't catch.
Well, that's true. You would have liked to see him, you know, grab that. Grab
Maybe
that
not alligator
pass.
Arm that thing.
Yeah. He's not. He's definitely not a receiver. But I think it's fair. I mean, we brought up before how it seems like he's year to year. And if you win, do you say, you know what? We know, I know he knows how difficult it is. Do you want to go out in a high note like a handful of other guys have done in the past? And then, you know, Giselle might look at him too and say, listen, like you just won. No better time than now to say goodbye. So
See, I don't think he would have retired had they won in February.
I hope not.
I do think it's valid to say that if they win another one here in the next year or two, he may walk after that one.
Yep.
Because I think his life has changed, his priorities have changed. Not that football isn't a priority for him, it clearly is, but he's putting his family higher on the list than perhaps they were in the past.
And part of the reason why I think he's going to play, or why he's going to try to keep playing, is TB12 and his business after football. But if you're the Super Bowl winning quarterback at 41, that's pretty good. And then you never have that stinker of a season. You never have that risk of, well, yeah, he was great until the end. Like, you don't have the Peyton Manning. Well, he couldn't even throw the ball downfield. Oh. You know, like, that last season was hard to watch. Well, not as a Peyton Manning hater. It was actually great to watch until he won the whole damn thing. But then you avoid that, and then you move on with six Super Bowls. Yeah. But let's say they lose in the AFC Championship game this year. Then I feel like he's back again.
Yeah, could be. Fred's in Maryland. Hey, Fred.
Hello.
Hi, go
Hello.
Ahead.
How are you today, guys?
Good, Very how are well, you? Thanks.
I want to talk about Rafael Devers for a minute.
Let's hear it.
You know, they complain how bad of a third baseman is. He makes a lot of errors.
Sure does.
You realize that Andre Beltre, who's going to be a Hall of Famer in his first year, made 33 errors?
How about that?
It's probably true. The other
Did
thing
Cora
about
Did Cora say that the other night? I feel like Cora might have mentioned
the
that.
The other thing that Devers, and I give my colleague Tom Caron credit for this one, Rafael Devers would be the youngest player on the Pawtucket Red Sox.
Wow.
He would be the youngest player on the Portland Sea Dogs.
That's pretty good.
He would be the youngest player on the Yankees AAA team. I mean, I think sometimes we forget that this is a kid.
He's 21 years old, and Alex Cora has told us before he doesn't really care about the errors with Devers. Like, he just wants to make sure that he, you know, I guess stays positive and remains, you know, productive, you know, at the plate. And he's had his highs and lows this year. He's not exactly ripping the cover off of it. But it's also, nobody is saying, even when he commits an error, Dale, do you ever hear, they should have Holton or they should put Nunez? Like, Nunez might be worse at third. So
no, you let him, and John, his point is fair here.
Yeah.
Fred from Maryland. Let him work through this. He's going to get better. He's
Well, the thing is, think about it. If you know, when Xander Bogaerts, you remember John Farrell said, this isn't looking great, put him at third base. You're like, well, what are you doing? Like, do you want him to be a long-term shortstop or not? And then Bogaerts has gotten much better defensively. Like,
yes.
Like when he had that error against the Yankees, it was shocking. He rarely, I think that was his first field, like non-throwing error all season long. So I'm okay with Devers, having next year. He's a little bit improved and a little bit more after that.
I got to leave you with this tweet from Nate Ulrich. Cleveland Browns beat writer for the Akron Beacon Journal.
All right.
He tweets out, Browns GM John Dorsey said the team will work out wide receivers next week, and Dez Bryant could be among them.
Ooh.
If he returns Dorsey's call.
Oh.
Dorsey said Bryant has yet to return his call.
He's busy.
Dez Bryant said, oh, no, not there.
Is that the Browns again?
Oh,
the Browns
come on.
Forget it. Have the Patriots called yet? They have not? Well, then I'm going to wait.
You know what? I'll just hang here.
He's probably waiting for, or he probably saw the first episode of Hard Knocks and saw Hugh Jackson.
He said,
he's like, I'm not going
there.
I'm not picking up the phone.
Everkeef is up next.
That's right.
We'll have football to talk about tomorrow. You guys enjoy the game tonight. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.